Welcome to Conversations from the Filling Station. Our mission is to equip and empower the people of God and see his kingdom enlarged through his presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this message will inspire and equip you in your faith. You will find previous conversations at thefillingstation.org/podcasts and in all your favorite podcast platforms.
Well, hello there. My name is Richard Fothergill. I'm part of the Filling Station team. And we have just launched this, we're calling Conversations, which is really going to be a three-way discussion about various Christian topics over the years ahead or months ahead. And today's topic, the first thing we're going to kick off on, we're going to actually be looking at the whole topic of angels. But we want to try, in these discussion times, just have a very free-flowing discussion between the three of us, and maybe guests will come in as well, to cover key areas in Christian life, and particularly some of the areas which maybe the rest of the church aren't actually looking at so much, or things that are a little controversial and maybe difficult to talk about. But we feel we want to have a chance to just air some of these things, and particularly from a biblical perspective, to share God's revelation to us about particular topics. So can I introduce my two colleagues?
Hi, I'm Simon Badley, part of the Filling Station team, the regional consultant for the Southwest, and part of the Equip and Empower team as well.
Yeah, and I'm Helly. Nice to see everyone. And I'm on the same teams. I'm a regional consultant and part of Equip and Empower training too.
So, angels, interesting word. But my first thought was, have we actually seen an angel? Any of us? Face to face, have we actually had an encounter with any angelic being?
It's a funny one. I certainly, I wouldn't say I've seen one physically, though I'm often aware of them in the room or aware of their presence. And they look kind of almost like shadowy, not kind of dark shadowy, but certainly I'm just aware that they're there. And I remember my eyes were particularly opened when our youngest son was born. We had Philippa, my wife, had a very difficult labor, and it was going on for a long time. And Tom, our son, was in a lot of distress. And we were obviously praying, and we had a Christian midwife with us, and we were just like kind of interceding, asking God to help. And suddenly I was aware of the presence of God in the room saying it was going to be okay. And then he was born and it was fine and he's grown up and everything's good. But from that moment, I was suddenly aware of just seeing around the hospital as we were there, what looked like angelic figures just following people through the corridors. And I remember just questioning the Lord, you know, what's that about? Why am I seeing this? And he said, well, even the non-believers pray for angels to be with their loved ones in hospital. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And so I had lots of encounters like that, but not actually seen a physical being like Gideon saw the angel of the Lord.
That's pretty personal.
Yeah.
And as you say, we describe it, you know, it's a reality. It's not like this is some sort of vague idea or a kind of odd concept of little chaps with wings flapping about. Helly, how about you?
I thought I saw one. I potentially did see one when I was helping host a venue at the New Wine Summer Camp. It was a big festival. There was about 700 young people in the room. And I was utterly convinced that there was this man at the back that just had a really strong, bright presence about him. And he was standing behind the sound desk. And I actually said down the microphone, there's a guy at the back. I don't know. Do you want to come and share something? Have you got a testimony? You're like really radiant to me. And everyone was turning around and looking. And no one moved forward. And they were sort of going, you know, everyone's doing that. And basically, nobody else saw him. There was nobody there, apparently. So I still to this day don't know, but I remember as a team, before we gathered those young people into the venue, we would like march around the room, Joshua style, praying for the space, the atmosphere. And I remember having a funny feeling in that corner and just specifically saying, oh, I just think we need to pray for angels to be, ask God to send angels to be stationed in that particular corner. And then it only came back to my mind like a few days later. Oh, that was the corner that we asked the Lord to send angels into, which is strange. It wouldn't have been my normal way of praying either back then. I mean, we're going back about 20 years, so it's a bit sad I haven't got any follow-on stories. But I think that was either a close or just, you know, I was having too much cheese the night before or something. But
now you've said that, that's just reminding me. Sorry, that's just reminding me of a story. I was in America about 20 years ago and at this huge worship event, and the presence of God was profound. And my friend and I noticed these three guys walk in the room who were really unusual. There was like a young guy, middle-aged guy, and an old guy, all with what looked like brand new clothes on. But they were walking around the room praying, and one of them was dancing at the front. But I couldn't take my eyes off of them, and the presence of God in the meeting was profound. And it was just like, you know, I just kind of one of those really odd moments. And we walked out of this room when the kind of the meeting had finished. And my friend and I were like, we've never experienced the presence like that. And I said, did you notice those three guys? And he said, yeah. He said, oh, they were like really unusual. And then suddenly we both, you know, the scripture in Hebrews 13, it says by entertaining strangers, some people have unwittingly entertained angels. And we were like, it's like God had sent his angels just even into the, you know, into the room.
Very
good. Mm. How about you, Richard?
Well, funny enough, I have actually seen one. And I know it was an angel face to face. It was quite close. And it's a slightly old story, but it was in 2007. And every night, my wife, Josephine, and I, we pray as we go to bed. We just pray for a good night's sleep and the spirit would kind of brood over us, and you know, we have nightmares and things like that. And yeah, so we prayed that in the normal way, turned the lights off. I rolled over on my left hand side in bed, and then the next thing I know, I see out of the corner of my eye, I see a hand. I thought, what's Josephine doing? I saw a hand above my head. I thought, this is bonkers. What is she doing? And but she was actually asleep. It wasn't her. It was an angel. I turned my head. And I looked straight into the face of this really beautiful angel. And it was about, you know, about sort of 2 foot away. And I saw the whole of his or her head, shoulders, top of the body. And there was a serenity and a calm and a peace in the face. And I knew what was happening. Out of the hand, the sort of little flecks of gold light seemed to be coming. And what he was doing, basically, I worked out that the Lord has sent this angel just to come and answer the prayer we prayed a moment ago about giving us a good night's sleep. I don't know how that works out with little flecks of gold, but there we go. So as I looked at this angel's face, and it was so serene, and it was like either a young man or a woman's face. There was a softness to it, and a calm, as I say, was the overriding sense. And I just looked into his eyes or her eyes for quite a long time, about sort of 30 seconds, which is quite a long time. If you do that with one of your family members, look into their eyes for 30 seconds, and you'll find it's a long time. So I looked into this thing, and then it slowly, slowly disappeared away, and it went sort of through the roof and out of the building. Mm. And the thing is, I was so relaxed by it, and it wasn't a dream. I was 100% awake. I was so relaxed by it, I just rolled over and went back to sleep. Went to sleep. And then the next morning, I woke up and told Josephine I had this encounter. And she said, why did you wake me up? Why didn't you tell me? I wanted to see it. I wanted to see an angel. It's got stuff. And it's interesting because also the timing of it, it was just the beginning of 2007. Now, that was a time when I had just finished the previous ministry with a great church in Bristol called Crossnet at the end of 2006. And we were just having the first 3 months of 2007. Technically, I wasn't employed. I didn't have an income, and we'd come back from Africa, so we were there in Britain, and we were asking the Lord, "Okay, what next? What do you want us to do next?" The filling station, using up the filling station, had started by then. there's only one meeting. There's a little sort of sideline activity of one meeting going on once a month in Wiltshire. And that was great. But there was no way there was that a kind of full-time ministry job yet at all. But anyways, it was at that time. And I know subsequently I could see that the Lord in his grace gave me a sort of first-hand encounter of the supernatural like that, so overtly, because it was a time when there was quite a lot of instability. You know, I was sort of saying to the Lord, what am I doing here? Should I go back to Africa? Why am I in this country? You know, I thought you got us here to come and do some ministry, but there's nothing happening, you know. So, again, the timing of it was quite interesting on that. So that's my only kind of first-hand encounter with an angel, only consciously at least.
I think I've been in rooms, definitely in worship gatherings, where people have quite frequently, it feels in my mind, said, oh, I have this sense we're worshipping with the angels. And there does seem to be a sort of sound that comes out that feels beyond human, and a sense in the atmosphere, sort of,
and the worshipping of it
tingles, and ooh, something in the room has changed. And I can't remember anyone saying I've actually seen them, but I feel like sometimes you get this sense of joining in, don't you?
I felt that at a conference in Ripon. Actually, the previous one in Salisbury, but in Ripon, even the first day when the band were practicing and preparing for us to kick off, I walked into that church and I had a real sense, wow, there's a crowd here already. You know, the level of the Spirit's involvement is kind of high. So I can't understand.
Wow.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I was thinking, over Christmas, I was thinking of that song, I think it's Howard, isn't it, where it says, joyful all you nations round, join the triumph of the skies. And somehow when the shepherds clocked the angels and everything going on above them and over them, it pulled them into something higher than their, like, landlocked lives of just being around on the fields with sheep. They were being pulled into something bigger than themselves, a greater story, the Jesus story. And I sometimes think if we're worshipping and we're joining in with the triumph of heaven and the angels are worshipping, I mean, obviously in Revelation it talks about that, doesn't it, that they're all singing ho ho, and we come into that, we're joining in, it kind of pulls us out of our normal into sort of being aware of there's something supernatural, someone supernatural who's at work and who's powers at work in that very room.
Yeah, it was
an amazing sort of feeling, isn't it, to suddenly be caught up into it.
Yeah, definitely. It's like God interrupting our moments with, you know, maybe we're kind of in just a natural, and then God interrupting and breaking in. And, you know, I think even one of the descriptions or the meanings of the word angel is messenger, isn't it? So it's like God sending his messengers to us to minister, to release his presence. And even like throughout scripture, we see just like God sending his angels, people are going about their business, like Gideon, you know, treading out grain in the winepress, and the angel of the Lord appears and breaks into his situation to break him out of, you know, the rut that he is in. And, you know, I love it that God, you know, is part of his ministry to release his angelic host around us.
You don't hear loads of people going about their day-to-day life, you know, pressing the wine and suddenly having an angelic encounter. I feel like it'd be amazing to see more. I think it's easy for us to talk about, oh, I'm a bit worried about there's this oppression here or a demon of this or a demon of that. I think it's about time we had a conversation about angels. Yeah. For us all, really.
Yeah.
What's your favourite, if you had one, scripture about angels? Is there anything biblically that you refer back to and think, oh yeah, that's what it says?
Certainly for me, I love the Gideon story, just where the angel of the Lord appears to him, you know, and says, calls Gideon a valiant warrior, and it literally shifts his whole outlook on life. You know, and I love just, you know, the fact that they break out into the unknown, and even like Zechariah, the father of John, you know, he's in the temple and then, you know, an angel appears to him and tells him that he's going to be the father of John the Baptist. And so there's certainly those two. It's like that suddenly of God where he sends his angelic host to kind of break into our situations. you know, I love those two, certainly.
I love that part with Elizabeth and Zechariah. And I like the mic drop moment where eventually after Zechariah's been silenced because he didn't go along, he suddenly gets, he like writes this mic drop moment when he goes, he's amazing.
John.
And then he gets his voice back and you just think, wow. You know, but it all came from that encounter with the angel, didn't it?
Yeah. You know, and even that angel in Zechariah said, you know, it's like, I stand in the presence of God. It's like, you know, I come with the fragrance of heaven and you are doubting the message that I bring to you.
Yeah.
And to almost to save yourself from unbelief, you're going to be mute until your son is born.
Yeah. How- and that sense of, you know, God take, like, you don't like thinking that God could take away our voices or, you know, based on our faith and a following of him, but he can take away and give, can't he? And that sort of silencing and regalvanizing Zechariah that happened, and then suddenly his agreement with what the angel said. Wow, like, it's phenomenal, isn't it? I really like Acts 12 where Peter's been imprisoned and he said, sort of, mate, you imagine the scene is so ridiculous. It's almost like you think that the angels hit him on the side. They're like, wake up, you know, like, you've got stuff to do, like, come on. And then his chains are falling off and then he walks out and then he goes to Mark's mum's house, Mary, and they think that he's lost, like, they're thinking that she's lost her mind seeing Peter. It's like, no, that they're saying, oh no, it's his angel, but actually it is actually Peter. So
he's actually, that's right, yes,
it's interesting
because they're like, is that is Joshua, the Battle of Jericho, where the angel of the Lord, the commander of the armies of the Lord, he's an angel, appears, and Joshua's question to him is, are you for us or against us? And he sort of says, neither, but as the commander of the Lord's army, I'm now here. And, like, and I like that sort of objectivity that he, you know, and angels are obviously just doing what the Lord wills. They're out there to do is complete his will, and they're not swayed by human sin or human character. You know, he just says, God's told me to come here to fight the battle for you, and I'm going to be doing that. But in one sense, I'm not for you especially. I'm just doing what the Lord's told me to do. I like that sort of third party objectivity. Life, actually. Interesting.
Yeah. I also love Elisha's, where he has to pray that his servant will see as well, but he just wants the heavenly armies, all the horses and the chariots of fire. It's like, you know, don't worry. There's all this activity is going on. Like, open our spiritual eyes to
see
it. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, even just that Elisha could already see it, and it was just
amazing.
You know, just like his day to day, or I'm just seeing in the spirit, and I'm aware of the angelic host all around. But then obviously prays for Gehazi's eyes to be opened, and then, oh, he can see it as well and is reassured of their safety.
Do you think there are different types of angels doing different things? You know, there's a bit of a hint of that in scripture, isn't there?
Yeah, it does seem like that, doesn't it?
I would definitely say that.
One is in restoring ones. One of my favourites is where Elijah's lying down under the bush and the angel comes and touches him and says, rise up and eat. That's one of my favourite angel moments where... Like, practical, but also kind of restoring and encouraging. Like,
you think of that every dinner time, don't you, Henny?
I do, actually.
Well, in one of the translations, it says the angel came with cake as well. And you have to think, what kind of cake? What kind of cake? The angel. Maybe that's where angel cake came from.
Yes.
But there are lots of different types of angels. And I think we often think of them as, we have a particularly typical view, don't we, of them with, you know, angels with two wings, you know, that's the kind of the classic view. But
fat babies playing a lyre.
Cherubim drawings, yeah.
But it certainly talks about, you know, cherubim and seraphim in the Bible, and archangels, and just kind of general angels as well, and guardian angels, and even angel guides in the Bible. So that, I think there's certainly a few different types of angels that God uses.
What do you think the difference is between cherubim and seraphim? I don't actually, I'm not too sure.
I don't know. Obviously two different words.
I've got a few things I could help with that. And so in Isaiah, I think the first mention of seraphim, where it talks about, so in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah has this encounter with the glory of God. And it talks about the seraphim there, you know, having six wings, with two they cover their faces, two they cover their feet, and two they fly, and they stand above God as he sits on his throne, continuously praising, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." So it's like the seraphim seem to have something to do with the holiness of God. And then cherubim.
And they have wings.
Yeah, they have wings. Yeah, they have six wings.
They have wings. Lots of wings.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's like, we often think of them as just with two wings, but seraphim certainly had six. That's quite impressive, isn't it? And then the cherubim were, you know, mentions them like in the Garden of Eden. They, when Adam and Eve were came out of Eden, cherubim were posted to guard the garden. And then it talks in Ezekiel 10 as well about cherubim, and it says they've got like four faces. So Ezekiel says they have like face of a lion, face of an ox, a human, and an eagle. And it seems like they are tasked with protecting God's glory. You know, they seem to be connected with God's glory. Certainly those are, you know, so cherubim are not like the little cute babies flying around with, you know, their bows and arrows, as we tend to think of. You know, as we approach Valentine's Day, you know, there are lots of cards, but they're not like that. I think they're a little bit more, they're fiery. They seem to be, no, they're pretty robust. They're not these kind of...
I mean, honestly, Valentine's Day stuff is all from Greek mythology. It's Cupid's arrow and all that kind of... It's got, as with so much in the Western church, it's sort of got merged in with a lot of our biblical understanding of what these forces are. But that's why, you know, we it's good you're sharing the truth, the biblical version of stuff here, Simon, are what angels look like in the Old and New Testament, not just because of myth.
Well, so which was the type of angel that destroyed, was it like 185,000 people? It was the angel of the Lord. The Assyrian army, wasn't it? That was a whole lot of power.
Which kind of makes you think. Yeah, to say, makes you think, so what? Why does God send angels? What's the purpose of angels? You know, why, you know, how do they figure? I mean, we've given a few encounter stories, a few biblical bits and pieces, but how do they kind of, you know, why does God use them?
Well, it says why, we don't really know, do we? Sure, but we can see, as you say, you've touched on several areas already, like guidance, protection, worship, the holiness of God, to help us who are unholy because we're tainted by sin, help understand what holiness looks like. And I'm certain in many worship encounters that we have and in meetings and things, that's what's going on. The angels are helping us orientate our thinking and our hearts and our spirits in the right way to understand the holiness of God that we're worshiping there. So drawing the worship out of us. But there's also judgment. You know, there's another thing he certainly does. As you touched on there a moment ago, Helly, about the Assyrian army, you know, the angel of death, he allowed, and then obviously the Passover, same thing. He allows the angel of death to pass over Egypt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he works out his will. Obviously, his will is not our will. He works out his will on the earth in a manner of ways in which obviously angels are kind of key part of it, I think.
Yeah. And Acts 8, it's got Philip, hasn't it, being directed by an angel that told him to go. And
I think, you know, even in, I think Hebrews 1 is quite helpful when it talks about angels and certainly them being like flames of fire and them being like wind as well. So sometimes we, you know, maybe we think it's going to be a bodily type figure, but actually God doesn't, you know, he's not constrained by our natural imagery around us. You know, he says they're like winds and flames of fire, and you know, the cherubim, the seraphim certainly don't look human like but he says they are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So I think, okay, they are, God sends them to, you know, certainly to, I guess, aid salvation, to bring people into the kingdom through, you know, his people, but sent to serve certainly his people on earth. Yeah. Really interesting.
And it says he commands his angels. So it's a sense of us being in our right place, that he, the Lord, sets them up to protect us or provide or challenge or destroy, or he sets it up, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that's, I think, an interesting question to think, you know, can we, because often people say, or can we command angels? And I think that's a good, you know, let's maybe have a little think around that.
Yeah, that's one old one, isn't it? He commands his angels to guard you, and their hands support you, so you don't even strike your foot against a stone. That's an amazing verse, isn't it? Mm. But it is, he commands his angels for us. So it's for our benefit.
Lord doing it, isn't it? Yeah. Commanding, not necessarily you and I.
Absolutely.
I want an angel to turn up on my veranda.
That's what I think the difference between us and like New Ages. So the New Ages would certainly be, you know, trying to have conversations with angels and inviting them into whatever, you know, I don't even know fully what they would do, but, you know, our relationships with the Lord, you know, he commands his angels. But I do pray, God, would you release your angels?
Well, in we still can ask, can't we?
Yeah, I do. You know, like Psalm 91, which you mentioned, you know, he commands his angels. So I'm like, Lord, would you release your angels around me to lift me up in this situation?
Yeah. But that's different because, as you say, Simon, that's between us and the Lord.
Yeah.
We're talking to him about that. We're not sort of talking directly to an angelic creature, say, come and do what we want you to do. You're quite right. The relationship has got to be between us and him by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit.
And they do seem to talk to humans when they come and do their stuff sent by God. Obviously, that's what we're saying, isn't it, in some of our examples. But we're not sort of, we don't get to boss them around or...
Now here's another one. I don't know if you guys have experienced this. I experienced it quite a few times when I'm preaching or speaking. I often hear almost an audible voice, sort of just behind me. There's a scripture which says, "You'll hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" You know, but I find that when I'm preaching, and often it's that I hear something along the lines of, "No, mention this story," or "Remember that, quote this scripture," or "Go down this direction in your talk." I prepare my talk, I know what I'm going to say, and it's kind of going off that track specifically for that audience, that group, to say something, I guess, which is they need to hear. And I'm pretty sure that some of the times that is an angel doing the communicating into my ear. So it's not an audible voice, it's not that strong, but it is very clear. And other times I have a sense by the Holy Spirit, and I think that's just directly the Holy Spirit illuminating stuff. But I'm pretty sure some of these times it's been an angel that he's used to kind of get my attention to change the talk. Do you find that nothing?
Yeah, absolutely. And just reminded me actually in my, in the few months before I became a Christian, I was often aware of there being, so I wasn't preaching at all, but certainly aware of there being a presence near me, in lots of different situations, and often felt like a hand on my back, which was reassuring, not like a odd thing. Yeah. But it was, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was very much, as I kind of processed those things, I thought, oh, that was the Lord sending angels to me, or somehow it was God drawing me into his kingdom.
Yeah.
That is cool.
No, it's exciting. I think I'm excited by, you know, even I think it's interesting when you read like the kind of the Gospels and the early church, there are seem to be testimonies of increased angelic activity. And throughout history around revivals, there seem to be an increase in angelic activity when there's about to be a move of God. And I feel like even in the last, like since the beginning of this year, I feel like it's not like I've seen them physically, but I've been aware of his angelic host in more contexts than I've been aware in the last year. Maybe God's opening my eyes a bit more, but I feel like God's getting us ready for something. And certainly, you know, all of our hearts are to see God bring awakening to our nation and the nations around us. And the fact that they're feels like there's an increase in angelic activities. Okay, this feels exciting because God's getting us ready for a move from heaven, which will be obviously salvation, people turning to Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we shouldn't be shocked, should we? Because in scripture, there's like, I think, isn't it like around 300 references to angels? I mean, Revelation is literally like one after the other, really. Ezekiel too. But yeah, there's loads of mentions of angels. And I feel like perhaps this is the first time I've spent, nearly half an hour talking about them.
Well, this is
like we're missing a trick, aren't we? If this is the way that God sends us help. We were chatting, weren't we, when we were away for a weekend, and our friend's husband said, you know, like, let's not miss this. If this is one of the ways God's utilizing supernatural power to help us on earth, we want it.
Don't wish me away. I agree entirely, Hilly. And that's, Helly, that's why we need. It's good to have this discussion here, and hopefully anybody who's watching this, and to try and encourage us to have a healthy, mature Christian view on angelic activity and not get either so overexcited and distracted by it that we're kind of talking of angels directly only, but also not to be materialistic and just sort of just bin it to say, well, that's just all, it might be a nice medieval idea, or it's in the Old Testament, but it doesn't. Angels aren't around now. It was silly. You know, we've got to get the right balance. That's why having these kind of discussions is really, really necessary, really helpful.
You know, there's Matthew 18 where it talks about, I think it's about children, but it's Jesus is saying, I tell you in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my Heavenly Father. What do you guys think about the concept of us having like a guardian angel or angels allocated? I know Revelation, different theologians have different point, you know, thoughts on, is that an angel for the church, or is that is that about the leaders of the church, or is this verse in Matthew talking about, you know, children have their own guardian angel? What do you guys think of that?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
I know, sorry.
Okay, you want to go first, Sam?
Well, I think that the two ones about the kind of guardian angels is that Matthew 18 and the Acts 12, where they the lady in the house thinks she's seen Peter's guardian angel. So there seems to be, you know, I think those are the only two references to,
as if they're allocated per. Yeah.
You know, and I know that people debate that. That's a big debate, but it does seem that God has put. You know, but I'm very open to that. Lord, release your angels around me. And I think that's, I'm neither the kind of, I don't have a strong opinion on it being wrong. I probably lean more towards it being that's how God has done it. But it does, I do think there are certainly angels over regions. And we have in the book of Daniel where Michael, the archangel, was having a battle with the prince of Persia. Now, the prince of Persia was a demonic angel, like a principality in power. So remember, like, the demonic stuff are all fallen angels. So it does seem that there are regions certainly assigned to angels.
And then people, and then possibly organizations and churches. I can't remember who it was, but they called it a non-human energy. Sorry.
We've got Revelation, the first few chapters of Revelation are all about, it talks about the angel of the church of Sardis, the angel of the church of Laodicea, this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, as Simon says, it looks like they also, not just on a personal level, they're allocated to a group. And obviously that was the believers in Sardis or Smyrna or wherever it was. There was an angel dealing with that particular group. To going back to your earlier question though, Haley, about Jesus saying about the children and how their angels beheld the Lord in heaven. The fact is, I know it's personal insofar as it is particular to an individual child. It's not, the way it's written, it's not kind of like, oh, this is a group covering of everybody who looks towards heaven kind of idea. There is a little child and God has allocated an angel to protect him or
help
that person. So that's where we get the whole idea of guardian angels comes really from that one verse.
But
if we didn't have that word, Jesus saying that, we wouldn't even be thinking like that at all. Yeah. So I like Simon. I think don't hold it too tight.
No. I mean, if that is the case, imagine how many angels there are in the world, as many humans.
Yeah. Well, we know well, theologians have thought that, you know, we have are told in scripture that a third of the angelic host rebelled against God and fell, Lucifer. And then also we've had it linked in Revelation where it talks about an army of 200 million, you know that, at the end days. And some theologians have suggested that that army of 200 million is actually 200 million demonic forces. It's not human. They're actually the forces of evil. So maybe 200 million demons or fallen angels or whatever come against the Holy Land, come against Israel and so on. So whatever, you're right. His good news is two-thirds of the angels are still good guys. One-third.
You're the baddies.
But we are dealing with a lot of angels out there.
I mean, it's huge, isn't it?
Well, I think, you know, even in having this discussion, I think God wants to open our eyes to just be aware of that he sends his angels, that they are the ministering spirits, that they have varied roles and they do interact with society. And I think sometimes we can become, as you mentioned earlier, just quite materialistic in the sense that in the sense of wanting possessions, but materialistic in the sense that we don't have a perception of the spiritual realm and that we are body, soul, and spirit. And I think even thinking about angels is a useful kind of interruption to just remind us, you know, God is spirit, God is almighty, and he has broken into, you know, history many times with his angelic host.
Yeah.
Mm.
And only three are given names, aren't they, I think, in scripture. So I think that's where, again, there's a bit of a caution for us. Out of all the hundreds that are mentioned, it's only Gabriel, Michael and the archangel, I think, that are named. And then obviously Lucifer as the fallen angel. So, you know, becoming over familiar and saying, well, I've got my angels coming with me called Fred.
Yeah, it does feel
like it's stretching it, doesn't it?
Might be disrespectful. I mean, look at the way that we see Peter, where they're arguing over the body of Moses, and the angel dealing with a demon. He just says, "The Lord rebuke you." He doesn't slander him. And actually, that's the whole point. That little bit of text is that in the right way, we mustn't slander heavenly beings, even if they're wicked and they're demonic. You know, we have, in the right sense, we have to have an element of humility in all this, I think.
Amen. Yes.
Can I share something? I know you guys know about this, but it just occurs to me, as we're talking about angels, it might be appropriate to share what happened to me in December. Shall I do that about the angel?
Yeah, okay.
Again, for those of you who may not have seen this, we did put a little film out about this. It's our filling station, one of our filling station clips a while ago. But my wife and I, we live in the Lake District up in Cumbria, and we were driving back from somewhere about the 12th of December. And in the car there, we were driving along, and I was driving, and the Holy Spirit came down on me so powerfully that I was really rather incapacitated. I couldn't drive straight. I was, you know, emotional, weeping. Anyway, so I pulled the car over, went into a lay-by, and I had this encounter with the Lord. And in this encounter, it wasn't a vision with my open eye. I've never had one of those, but it was a very strong impression. I saw in front of us I saw all of us at the filling station, all our meetings, all our host teams, and all our friends that are doing filling station stuff, lots of Christian activity, lots of Christian people. We were on a battlefield, and it was a bit like the Somme, you know, it was kind of like all blown up, churned up ground. And we were on this battlefield, and then in front of us was this enormous angel. I mean, 50 foot high, enormous angel. And it was in armor and it had a sword. And this angel was sweeping this sword backwards and forwards in front of itself. And we were just behind all of this. And then where this angel's sword came down, it would smash a chain. It would break chains on people's hearts and minds and lives. And they'd be freed. You know, we're here to set the captives free. That's one of our mandates as Christians. It was also whacking demons out the way. Just dispatching them and bringing life and truth and freedom and hope to people. People are being rescued essentially by the warfare of this angel in front of us. I then also noticed that amongst all the filling station meetings, there were smaller angels, more kind of human size. I felt almost allocated to the individual filling station groups. Anyway, we in this battle, we were all moving ahead. And the key thing that struck me about this big angel was one that the Lord had decided, he just allocated it to us as a filling station network. And he hadn't been there before. Now, the Lord's obviously been working through us for the last 15 years, but it's like he's given a very powerful angelic presence to bring a new level of change and freedom and hope to people. And he's just ahead of us. That was the one thing that really struck me. This is new. And then secondly, that I saw his face and it was resolute. There was a good hardness to his face. He was absolutely set that he was about the Lord's will. And the Lord's mind and desire is to bring freedom. For freedom's sake, Christ has set you free, it says in Galatians 5:1. And that is what he's going to be doing through us, through the filling station, guys. Mm-hmm. And we just need to carry on being faithful, humble, and obedient and do what we're doing. But he's now set in train, I believe, a very powerful move by these angelic forces to bring change, and I say freedom to a lot of people and change for a lot of people. So I really wasn't expecting this. I say we'd just been out for a nice day down on the estuaries and we were just driving back and the Holy Spirit kind of knocked you down. Anyway, so we now know that as angelic lay-by whenever we drive past.
Very good. No, it's exciting. And it just reminds us, you know, God sends his angels to minister to those who will inherit salvation, to aid the purposes of the kingdom being established, you know, and that's, you know, part of their kind of their purpose, which is ultimately about King Jesus establishing his dominion, his domain in the nations of the earth, in which we partner with him as his ambassadors for.
Absolutely. Well, very succinct. Well done, Sam. That's absolutely correct. That's what we're doing.
Do you think now's a good time to pray?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Shall I do it or someone else?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for just a really interesting conversation, Lord. Thank you that you, Jesus, were about your Father's business, and so are these angels. You are commanding them for our benefit, for your kingdom's purpose, for your will to be done and your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven and in the heavenly realms. And God, we do ask that you would do exactly that, that you would command your angels concerning us today and in the days and years ahead. Lord, thank you that they seem to be on specific assignments for specific reasons. And as Elisha prayed for Gehazi, would you also open our eyes to just see what's really going on in the unseen spiritual realm while we walk around in our everyday lives? Lord, we long to have those senses again. Hundreds and hundreds of encounters in scripture. So Lord, give us at least one. It would be amazing to just encourage our faith, Lord. And thank you that you have entirely got our backs with all of this stuff. And Lord, thank you for this chat. Bless us. Bless us, God.
Mm. Amen. Amen. And just as you were praying that, Helly, I felt like those of you who are watching this, God's going to start to give you more encounters with his angelic host and open your eyes to the things of the Spirit. So when that happens, come back to the video and put a comment. So, you know, you've watched this, we've prayed. But as God encounters you in this way, come back, find us again on the platforms and put a comment in. It'd be lovely to hear the testimonies.
I agree. And just again, reemphasize that that's what the Faith Station is about. We are just a group of friends, essentially, wanting to encourage and equip and facilitate each other to be what it is the Lord has called us to do and be. And so we'd love to hear that feedback, as Simon says, and bless you who've been watching this. Bless you this week. And I'll no doubt talk to you again on this medium.
Thank you for listening to Conversations from the Filling Station. If you'd like to partner with us in seeing the kingdom of God released, you have the opportunity to give at thefillingstation.org/donate. Have a blessed day.